Police Academy is your source for the no apologies, no spin truth about all things police. Discussions about why cops do what they do, avoiding speeding tickets, or just how to stay alive can all be found right here. No questions out of bounds, no topic too sensitive. This is Police Academy. Do you understand
the words that are coming out of my mouth? What we're dealing with here, littering air, is a complete lack of respect for the law.
And smoking the reefer.
Call the dust pop.
We live in a society of laws.
Dust pop?
Yeah. No, that's not real.
This thing of weed.
Takes one solid weekend of training to get that bag.
April 29th, 2017, a 15-year-old Jordan Edwards was shot in the forehead by a rifle being held by a police officer. It's a tragedy that goes without saying. But what drew my attention to this particular topic, that being young, quote-unquote, boys being killed by the police, was a Twitter post that alleged that three 15-year-old boys have been killed so far this year by police. And the implication was that this is some sort of terrible trend that cannot continue. So today I want to talk about how age can play and what role age does play in the use of deadly force in these high-stress, often very dangerous situations. You know, think Tamir Rice, right? A young boy playing in a park, unfortunately, with a BB gun, who pointed it at police officers, whether intentionally or not, when they arrived. He was killed, and it's a tragedy. But is this a trend? Is it something that we can stop? And how does the age of an individual play into these situations? So let's look at these cases, the Jordan Edwards case and two others where 15-year-old boys were shot by police officers. And then I want to look at a last case where there were two 17-year-old boys and a 12-year-old involved in a shooting. But the details of that case might surprise you in context of this discussion. Enjoy the show. Our last episode started with a discussion about how oftentimes in life, we find ourselves in situations where two things that seem like they can't coexist often are required to, as unnatural as that may seem, right? A unarmed person with their hands in the air being shot by a police officer and that actually being justified. How can those two things coexist? Well, we're talking about a similar thing today. How can a boy, a 15-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 12-year-old, how can that person who has very little understanding of what the world is even about, who hasn't had a chance to live life yet, right? How can that individual be killed by a police officer, the person who is sworn to protect them, and that officer get away with it, right? That's the way it would be portrayed in the media. But how can that be justified? So we're going to look at these examples, and I think the answer will be very clear, but the real question here is, can a 15-year-old, a 12-year-old, even a 10, 9, 8, 7-year-old threaten the life of another human being? And when I say threaten, I'm talking about not just words, but actions that actually do physically threaten the life of another human being. It's a threat that could easily be carried out. Can these kids be a danger to society and police officers? And if so, is it justified in shooting and using deadly force against them in those situations? So let's look at the Jordan Edwards case to start. This happened in a suburb of Dallas. It was Balch Springs. That's hard to say. Balch Springs police responding to a basically MIP party is what it sounds like by reading these reports. And I think it goes without saying, but I always do because I don't want to be misinterpreted as being cold in these discussions. But this is a tragedy, of course. All of these are. They're 15-year-old boys that are now dead, right? Or very seriously wounded in one of these cases. But this all started April 29th with basically a noise complaint, a party call. Sounds like it was a suspected MIP party. The police show up. They are getting people out of this house and dealing with the host of this party when they hear what sounds like several shots being fired outside the house. So the two officers on scene run outside. One of them runs toward the vehicle that it seems they suspected the shots came from. Now the other goes to his patrol vehicle and grabs his patrol rifle, which I'm assuming, because this is the standard rifle that most police departments use, it was an AR-15 style rifle. Now, the reporting on this in a couple different articles that I read made comments to the effect of, quote, it wasn't clear, according to the documents, as to why he opted to get his department-issued rifle, end quote. Again, the implication there is he shouldn't have had a rifle. What's this guy doing? Who does he think he is, Rambo? Why is he going to get an assault rifle, right? AR does not stand for assault rifle, in case you didn't know. It stands for Armalite, the manufacturer of the original AR-15. I digress. So why did the officer go to his patrol car to get his patrol rifle? Well, to put it bluntly, because he has a brain. Without any sort of police training or tactical training, you give someone a scenario where shots are being fired. Not a report of shots fired. You hear them being fired within, you know, your area, close proximity to you. Then you give them the option, are you going to go deal with this situation with a little handgun, which holds, you know, 10 to 15, maybe 19 rounds, depending on what you're carrying? Or do you want to take this rifle with you, which is much more powerful, much more accurate, and holds 30 rounds? Take your pick. He was using his brain. He went to his patrol car to get a rifle because shots were being fired, and you don't go to a gunfight with the smallest possible gun. You go with the most capable. I learned very early on in my career that your sidearm, your pistol, is only there to get you back to your patrol rifle. It's only there to keep you alive until you can get the gun that can really do the work necessary. So the fact that he went and got his patrol rifle in a situation like this is not out of the ordinary. In fact, it is to be expected and probably a good tactical decision. Now, that doesn't mean that he was justified in using it, but going to get the tool necessary for the job is the smart and right thing to do, in my opinion. So after he goes to get his patrol rifle, he comes to back up the other officer who is at the side of the passenger side of this car. That officer had drawn his gun and ordered the driver of the vehicle, who had initially backed up, to stop the car. He then breaks the rear passenger window with his gun, and then the driver proceeds to speed off going forward. Now, the articles don't say if either of the officers were ever in the path of the vehicle, but as the vehicle begins driving forward, the officer with the rifle fires, and it hits Jordan Edwards in the forehead and kills him. Now, the article also doesn't comment on whether or not, and I think this is because nobody really knows, guns were found in the car, or if they ever figured out who did fire shots, if they were in fact gunshots. It doesn't say. So we don't know if these guys did have guns in the car or not. But the context of the encounter was that, hey, shots are being fired in this area. There's a vehicle that we suspect that they have just come from, and it's got, let me do my math, 5 people in it. Jordan Edwards, 2 of his brothers, and then 2 twin brothers in the back seat. from what I've read. So you've got a vehicle full of boys or men, depending on how you perceive the situation and if you can even tell how old they are, right? Because in these situations, you have to be in the position or put yourself in the position of the officer responding to it. So all you know at this point is that shots have been fired. There's a vehicle full of people, boys, girls, men, women. It doesn't matter. If they have guns and they're firing them in the city, that's not a good thing. You have to deal with that as an officer. And that's what these two officers were trying to do. Now, I don't know, and it doesn't seem to me at this point, from the information that we have, that this is going to be a justified shooting. It does not sound like the vehicle was directly threatening the lives of anyone at the moment the shot was fired. It doesn't say anything about the officers seeing any weapons. So for an officer not at immediate risk of serious bodily injury or death, to fire a round would not be justified. Again, I can't say that with certainty because we don't have all of the details, but this one does look like it was a mistake. So to anyone listening who leans that direction, that this, you know, you see this as the police screwing up, they murdered a young man or at least mistakenly killed a young man, I'll concede that point completely because that's not really the focus of this conversation. You can't make that claim confidently yet because we don't have all of the details, and I can't confirm or deny it at this point. But it's not the point of this conversation. The point is, could his age have played any role in his death or the officer's decision to use deadly force? And for it to have played a role, the officer would have had to have known how old Jordan was at the time that the shots were fired. And we don't know for sure if he did, but considering it was nighttime, Jordan was in a vehicle that was moving, and this all happened very quickly, most likely the officer had no idea how old Jordan was. So in case number one of three of these 15-year-old boys getting shot by police, age most likely played absolutely no factor at all and couldn't have because how could the officer know how old everyone was? There's five people in a moving vehicle at night. Were the officers able to determine the age of all occupants of the vehicle before the shot was fired? I'm going to go ahead and make a calculated guess and say no. In which case, Jordan Edwards' age is completely irrelevant to the conversation being had right now about this case. That doesn't mean this isn't a tragedy. It's terrible if a 15-year-old who's doing nothing wrong other than being in a car with a bunch of rambunctious boys ends up getting shot by mistake. That is terrible. But again, the whole point of the focus by the media and by the Twitter pundits is that he's a 15-year-old boy. How can that be? Well, it's kind of irrelevant when you don't know the age of the people that you're dealing with at the time. Let's move on to the second case. This one is involving another 15-year-old. They believe, called the police himself, although they obviously didn't know that at the time. He spoke about himself in third person when he called dispatch. But he called and reported a suspicious person in front of the Torrey Pines High School in San Diego. Now, the police arrive. It's about 3:30 a.m., so it's dark. And he immediately draws a gun from his waistband. They later find out it's a BB gun. But at that time, obviously, the officers are going to and must assume it is real and capable of killing them. So he draws this BB gun and points it at the police officers, who, according to reports, begin giving commands to drop the weapon, and probably not too long after that, begin firing on this 15-year-old boy, killing him. Now, the reports make it seem like they rushed in and began CPR right away. You know, they're calling for an ambulance. I'm sure as those officers ran up to him and secured him and made sure that he wasn't armed or any longer dangerous. They realized that he was a young boy. But could they tell that at the time that they arrived in the dark when this gentleman, I won't use boy or man because at that moment they don't know, pulls a gun and points it at them? Again, the answer is probably not. And even if they had, the question we must answer is he any less dangerous because he's 15 years old? In this situation, if they had known he was 15, maybe they knew who he was, and he drew a gun and pointed it at the police officers, it would not matter one iota that they knew he was 15. It doesn't matter. A 15-year-old is just as capable as pulling the trigger and hitting a target as a 50-year-old. In fact, many 15-year-olds today are probably more capable because they play Call of Duty 10 hours a day. So again, incident number 2 of 3. The age of the individual had no bearing on the officer's decision to use deadly force, and likely couldn't have because they probably didn't know how old he was. And even if they did, they would still be absolutely justified in using deadly force here. There's more details about this that make it very clear, like a suicide note, that this was suicide by cop. He wanted them to kill him. And it is well known, especially within law enforcement circles, that these incidents are unavoidable a lot of the time. If someone has pre-planned and planned well a suicide by cop incident, they're going to force the police to kill them. And the police don't really have any other option because they don't know that this is suicide by cop necessarily. And they don't know if the individual is willing to kill an officer or a civilian in that endeavor. Even if their only objective is to get the police to kill them, that doesn't mean that they're not willing to kill someone else to accomplish that. So here again, in case number 2 of 3, we've got another strikeout in the sense that the age of the young man shot by police likely didn't have any bearing on their decision and would not affect the justification of their use of deadly force. Now let's look at the third incident. This took place in New York, NYPD, an off-duty officer responding to report of shots fired. This plainclothes officer approaches a parked vehicle, which was stolen. We don't know if he knew that at the time or not, but he approached a vehicle. It was occupied by a 15-year-old, quote-unquote, boy, who they're hoping to try as an adult for what he's about to do. And the vehicle speeds away, somehow entrapping the officer and dragging him for 2 blocks. Now, while being dragged, the officer is able to fire his weapon, striking the driver, who at the time this article was written, was still alive. Now, the officer at that time was also in critical condition, still alive, but fighting for his life. Now, this case is a little bit different because it actually involves the carrying out of the perceived threat, right? The officer was drugged for 2 blocks. So clearly, his life is in danger. In fact, he's not alive because the threat wasn't carried out. He's just alive because he survived. It's like getting shot and living. Doesn't mean it wasn't deadly force. It just means that you didn't die. Now, this officer fired his weapon, justifiably so, according to, you know, what's available right now to the public. If you're being drugged by a vehicle, it's stolen, the driver knows that you're there and you're an officer, you're justified in using deadly force to stop the vehicle. So in case number 3, did the suspect's age have anything to do with the officer's actions? Again, it's nighttime, inside a vehicle. Officer might have had time to figure out how old he was. It doesn't say if there was any conversation made between the driver and officer. We don't know. Let's just assume that the officer did know. Hey, this kid's 15. Okay. You need to get out of this vehicle. It's stolen. And the car drives away and starts dragging you. Does it matter that it's a 15-year-old at the wheel that's about to kill you? No. Absolutely not. So there's strike number three. All three of these incidents involving 15-year-olds where they were shot by police involve incidents where either the age of the individual shot most likely wasn't known, and had it been, it wouldn't have mattered anyways. Try to put yourself in this position. You're being drugged by a vehicle. It's stolen. The person driving it knows you're there, and they're not stopping. Now, whether it's their intent to kill you or not, you're gonna die if you don't do something about it. If you can't safely detach yourself from the vehicle or stop the vehicle. In this case, this officer has a wife and a young 2-year-old little girl. Are you willing to withhold the use of deadly force only because the driver who's threatening your life at that very moment is 15? Now, if you can answer in the affirmative, if you say yes, I would suggest that you do not become a police officer. It doesn't mean that you're any less of a person or that's the wrong decision. It might be the right decision for you, but if you're not willing to protect yourself because of the age of a person threatening your life, then I would suggest that you might not be willing to protect someone else, and that is your job. If a 10-year-old is threatening the life of a 50-year-old, it's your job to end that threat, no matter how hard and tragic that might be. In one way that I know many officers look at it, and I do in a sense, is looking at the value of a life. Now, I think that every individual human has an inherent value, but that is separate and detached from their value to society as a whole. Right? They're two different things. Human life is valuable and should be protected at all costs, but not every human being is equal in the value that they bring to the world. Now, this doesn't mean that because someone's lazy and doesn't contribute to society that they should be killed or they don't matter. They have a right to be lazy, at least in America, right? But what I'm getting at here is when you're weighing the value of a police officer or even a good Samaritan who's trying to help or protect someone else versus the life of someone who is willfully and recklessly endangering the lives of others, whose life, at the very least in that moment, is more valuable? I would argue that it's the person trying to do the right thing and protect those around him. In this case, it's a police officer whose entire career has been devoted to protecting the public. Versus, unfortunately, a 15-year-old who clearly has gone down the wrong path. We don't know what has influenced this young man to end up in a stolen vehicle, but he's in a stolen vehicle all the same. He's in the wrong place, probably for very wrong reasons, and rather than contributing to the welfare of the society, the community that he lives in, he's a detriment to it. Again, that doesn't mean he deserves to die. But people look at this and you know, you see on social media and in mainstream media, they throw out 15-year-old boy shot and killed by police. But if you look at the details of these cases, it is very clear that that 15-year-old boy or man or otherwise didn't give the police much of an option. They devalued their own life to the extent that use of deadly force is absolutely justified. Now, Jordan Edwards' case is different. We don't know that it was justified yet. But the other two, it's clearly justified. But again, in Jordan Edwards' case, his age didn't have anything to do with what happened. And it's very misleading to point to the age of these individuals as if it makes it wrong by nature simply of their age to have used deadly force, because that is a lie. Now, the last case I want to look at involves three teens charged with attempted murder. This happened in Chicago, mind you. If you haven't heard the Chicago Police series on this podcast, I would definitely recommend you listening to that, because in light of that, series, this is very encouraging because two 17-year-olds and one 12-year-old in a vehicle all fired on two police officers, tried to shoot two police officers. The officers pursued them and took them into custody safely. They're still alive. It's the complete opposite of the narrative that the media and social media is pushing about, you know, these poor 15-year-old boys getting killed by police. How terrible, right? These officers were 110% justified in shooting and killing all three of these boys in the vehicle. 12-year-old or not, if you're shooting a real live gun at a police officer, you no longer have a right to live at that time. You know, maybe the situation progresses and you put down the gun before the police do shoot you, then yes, you have a right to due process. But in the moment that you're shooting at a police officer or pointing a gun at a police officer, BB gun or not, you no longer have a legal right to your own life. That's not my opinion. I've said this before. That is the way it works in this country. So huge shout out to those officers in Chicago who, despite the fact that they had legal authority to end the lives of these teenagers, they didn't and allowed them to have a chance to turn things around and to live a good life. Now, they might not. They're obviously extremely misled and on the very wrong path at this time. But huge shout out to you Chicago officers who essentially spared the lives of these teenagers. And I think that's, in my opinion, that's where the focus should be broadly in this conversation about these teenagers getting shot by the police. Maybe if there's a trend involved at all here, maybe the trend is that crime and the influence of especially gangs in the inner city is reaching younger people and involving them in the criminal activity at a younger age. Maybe that's the trend. Because in all three of these incidents, you know, the first one, Jordan Edwards, as far as we know, he wasn't doing anything wrong. But the police were responding to shots fired. We don't know if it came from the vehicle or not. And the teens in the car disobeyed police commands. That doesn't justify Jordan's being shot. But it does create a situation where mistakes are much more likely to happen if this, in fact, was a mistake. The other two incidents are clear. The teenagers put themselves in a situation where the officers had no choice but to use deadly force. Now, why aren't we talking about why these kids are out late at night, you know, with at best 17-year-old supervision, driving around in cars, not respecting the authority of police officers? Why was this young man in San Diego suicidal? I mean, that's, mental health is a huge part of police work. One of the statistics I read in reading these articles was that 1 in 4 people, broadly speaking, not just teenagers, but people as a whole who are shot by police, 1 in 4 are suffering from a mental illness at the time they're shot. And that doesn't surprise me. I think if we really know what's going on in people's brains in these incidents, that statistic would be much higher. I would guess that more like 9 in 10 of people shot and killed by police are either on a drug or suffering from a mental illness. And that's just based on my personal experience. But, you know, why wasn't that young man getting help? You know, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not pointing the finger, but that's really the issue. The police shooting him is not the issue here, as the media wants you to think it is. The issue is that we failed that young man somewhere along the way and allowed him to get to the point where he was willing to get shot and killed by police because his life, he felt, wasn't worth living anymore. That is the conversation we should be talking about. Now, in this last case, you got a 15-year-old kid in a stolen car. why is your 15-year-old out running around in a stolen car? I get it. I'm a parent. Once they get to that age, you've got to give them some freedom. You've got to loosen the reins or it's just going to be worse. But at the same time, how did a 15-year-old end up in a stolen car? He's clearly on the wrong path at that point. And he's too young to really know the consequences of going down that path. It is the parents' responsibility. It is our society's responsibility to try to keep these kids off of that path. Now, I don't want to get political here, but yeah, I said it's the parents' and the society's responsibility. I think community is important, but ultimately, the family is the cornerstone of these young men and women's lives. Family and correct upbringing is what makes the difference. The finger is continuously pointed at the police for responding to incidents that have been decades in the making, generations in the making. And I don't have an answer per se. I'm not here to solve the world's problems. But I mean, this is where this conversation naturally goes for me because, again, we're focusing on the wrong thing. The media wants to, you know, get their ratings. And so they're going to do the clickbait headlines about 15-year-olds being shot by the police. But if you actually look at these cases, as we just talked about, what is the real issue? Now, I don't have an answer, and this probably isn't the venue for one. I don't have the key to world peace. I think the answer starts, at the very least, with family. But I leave that question to you to ponder, what is the real issue in these situations? Because a police officer who is duly sworn to protect their community must use whatever level of force necessary to effect that goal. And whether you're 8, 10, 12, 15, 17, or 35, and you're threatening the life of another civilian or a police officer, you've just given up your right to live. All right, that's a wrap for this one, ladies and gents. Thanks for tuning in again. I know it's been a couple of weeks since the last one. I'm getting them out as fast as I can. And the more questions you guys ask, the more topics you provide, the more shows we'll have. So I'm going to read a review. This one's from Adam H. Many H's there. And he says, quote, I'm in the early hiring process. I stumbled upon your podcast and listened to it nonstop. Very good information. Thank you for both the service to your community as well as this podcast for people like me. End quote. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate you taking the time to write that wonderful review. If you haven't done so, just go to iTunes, search for Police Academy, click ratings and reviews, and you can write your own. I'll read it as soon as you do. And I also must remind you, if you are, like Adam, wanting and attempting to get into law enforcement, you're in that process, especially if you've gotten hired and you're acquiring equipment for that profession, I would recommend going to the website, policeacademypodcast.com, and clicking the button at the top of the page called Equipment. That will bring you to the Police Academy Equipment Locker, which has the 9 things that, in my opinion, you must have before going on your first shift. These are things I would not go into the field without. Obviously, flashlights, cuff key, not just the regular one that comes with them. There's a special cuff key that's much easier to use. Tourniquets, clotting sponges, K-bar knife, all that stuff. It's all there, and you can buy it through that site. It supports the show, and it doesn't cost you anything more. And it'll save you a bunch of time searching all over the internet for recommendations because these... you can bank on. So go check it out, policeacademypodcast.com. Go to equipment. And last but not least, I found a new technological solution to avoiding speeding tickets, which I'm going to do a separate episode on. It'll be a short one, but one that I think many people will appreciate. So stay tuned for that one, because this is the end of this one. I'll see y'all next time. As always, do good, be strong, fear nothing.